From on board HMS Illustrious, we present Still Goes Around on Defense with Pam Ayres, the Pleasant Pluckers, Charles Collingwood, Belinda Lang, Kerry Shale, and Richard Stilgo. I am in the Army. I am in the Air Force.
I am in the Navy.
The Army is the most important of the services because ultimately you need large numbers of highly trained personnel on the ground where the action is.
The Air Force is the most important of the services because we can deliver sophisticated weaponry accurately and quickly.
The Navy is the most important of the services because otherwise who would use up all the grey paint?
I joined the Army to see the world. I've been to Hong Kong, Cyprus, Germany, and Bermuda.
I joined the Air Force to learn to fly. I have flown Jaguars, Hawks, and Tornadoes.
I joined the Navy for the cheap fags.
I have gained enormous experience of managing men and will be able to get a good job in industry.
As an ex-RAF pilot, I shall probably fly jumbos at a salary of £45,000 a year.
I doubt if I could get a job outside the Navy. But then why should I leave? I like being an admiral.
I met an admiral once. I was 15 and I was trying to get into the Navy. And I was interviewed by him. And he said, "Stilgo, we are very pleased to see you because your father and I were in the same term at Dartmouth." And so it wasn't very difficult getting in after that. I was sent off to a housing estate in Gosport called HMS Incomprehensible. And then to Dartmouth for a fortnight. And we only did one thing. All the time that I was in the Navy trying to get into it permanently, all we were given was a barrel and 3 8-foot planks and a lot of rope. And we were given a ravine painted on the ground, which was 9 feet wide. And as far as I can gather, the Navy is still doing this to this day. Is the Navy still doing this?
Yes. Yes.
Our barrel was called Diana Dawes. Anyway, the aim is always to get this barrel across from one side of the ravine to the other using the planks and the rope. And if you can do this, you are a leader of men. And I watched all the others doing it, and they couldn't. And it came to my turn, and I couldn't work out a way of doing it. So I said to the officer in charge, I have proposed marriage to the barrel, and it has accepted me. So Miss Dawes and I are going to live this side of the ravine and build a house out of the 3 planks that you have given us. As a result of which I never got into the Navy. But in any case, I mean, I would have been retired by now, so I would still be doing the same thing that I am doing, which is standing here on board HMS Illustrious. As the BBC said, it was time that we did something for the ratings. HMS Illustrious can travel at 30 miles an hour, so landing a Harrier on board is rather like trying to jump onto a moving skateboard. She has Harriers, she has helicopters, and she has guns called Goalkeepers, which can fire 4,000 bullets a minute. All of which for the visitor is both frightening and reassuring. Frightening because of the sheer power of it, or thump, as I believe you call it, and reassuring because you're on our side. At least you are at the moment, you may not be by the end of the show. We have an audience here of men and women, because they now have women on ships who are called squeaky voice people, or SVPs. This is the most impenetrable thing about all the services, is the language. The SVPs, the snotties, the doggies, and the thump. Unless you do the language right, you can't be in the services.
A left, right, left, right, left!
prisoner escort, halt! Prisoner escort, left hand! Stop!
Hey, Sergeant. You rather enjoyed doing that, didn't you, Kerry?
Yes, I've dreamt of doing that ever since I saw Dad's Army on cable. I'll tell you what, Charles, could you be a real pal and order me to carry on?
Oh, of course. Carry on, Sergeant Major.
Stop! Oh, yes, yes,
yes. Now, what has Baines been up to?
Charges against the prisoner are that he did knowingly and consistently use ordinary, everyday language whilst communicating with other service personnel. Stop!
What? You mean...
That's right, sir. According to witnesses, he went through a whole day of LCT at RHQ from 0100 hours to GKWLJs without uttering a single meaningless sentence with loads of initials in it, sir.
Good Lord. Is he a complete Jago or what?
It's hard to say, sir, as I haven't a clue what that means, but I will say... that he was caught on duty failing to use military jargon in jokes or poptastically funny TV catchphrases, sir. He passed up a chance to call a known Welshman, Taffy, on three occasions, sir, opting to greet him by his real name instead.
This is more serious than I thought. Calling Welshmen by their real names, failing to use initials, not using the correct nickname. This is unmilitary behavior of the most despicable kind. I want this stamped out.
Absolutely, Lord Arse.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. 2 weeks, ECT.
2 weeks, ECT. Stop.
And have some yourself. Never did me any harm.
Mary believes the best possible life is the life of a regular officer's wife.
Peter believes that I've loved every minute. I hate it, the army and everything in it.
What we've loved most is the chance to explore. I love to travel, but she loves it more.
Aldershot, Belfast, and Catterick, twice. Doesn't to most people spell paradise?
We've never been tied down by mortar and bricks, so every 2 years it's goodbye and up sticks.
I long for a hovel where I can knock down a wall and paint everything purple and brown. It may not appear very much of a dream to want to live somewhere that isn't all cream.
Friends, heavens yes. Mary's made quite a few. Officers' wives and the other ranks, too.
Pushy and gossipy Sloan busybodies and counselling desperate girlfriends of squaddies.
The kids went to boarding school when they were small. They've so many chums, we don't see them at all. They're quite self-sufficient. They hardly need us, and Mary agrees. Well, she's not made a fuss.
I didn't have children to send them away and to see them to argue with each Christmas day. The closest I get is a peck on the cheek and laundry in bin liners sent home each week.
She's been such a brick, shown such utter devotion. I know it'll help when I'm up for promotion.
Oh, Peter, poor Peter. He thinks that next year, instead of retirement, he'll make brigadier. I couldn't face that. So I've written today an anonymous letter implying he's gay.
Mary believes the best possible life is the life of a regular officer's wife.
Mary believes... Oh, what does it matter? Mary believes we'll grow older and fatter. And Mary does not want to grow old alone... But it helps now and then just to have a good moan.
Coming to you soon. You've heard of the SAS, the SPS. Now meet the SCS, the Special Catering Service.
I'm going to break you, Fielding. Call Lithomerang.
They wanted danger. They wanted excitement. And they got it.
They don't have fan-assisted ovens in the Mojave Desert, Cresswell. How's your sponge going to look when you're carrying a 15-stone pack and you haven't seen water for 8 days?
They were trained to cater in extremity.
It's not thickening. It's just not thickening.
Right, Fielding. This is a war. Just add the cheese.
A story of love.
far behind the enemy lines.
Fielding, I love you, damn it. I may be an enemy spy, but I have never tasted shoe pastry like this before.
Don't torture me, Benethea. I can't give away those kinds of secrets.
They were given a job to do, and they did it.
Now that is a souffle.
They could stand the heat, but they got out of the kitchen. The Roo Brothers present The Special Catering Service, a story for anyone who likes their battles with a glacé cherry on top.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for a real service person. It is a great joy for me to have as a guest on the program, formerly SACW K2843037, better known to the whole world as Pam Ayres.
Thank you very much. Well, it was never my intention to have a military career of any kind, and the way it came about was like this. You see, I left school at the age of 15 unencumbered by educational qualifications of any kind at all, and I went to work in the civil service, and I worked in a great big stores, really. It was a stores for the British Army, which was called Didcot Depot. So that if the British Army, wherever it was situated all around the world, needed everyday stores like a canteen of cutlery or a pair of blankets or oil stoves or hexagonal bolts or countersunk head screws or flanges or blind grommets or anything fascinating like that, then they sent into us on a rectangular form, and these forms were all identical. So the things were all processed by hand by a long line of women who sat in a huge office, like very much like this hangar we're in at the moment. And I was about the third lady from the end, and my job, I did this job from the time I was 15 to the time I was 17 and a half. My job was to write 2 noughts in the top right-hand corner. And this, after 2.5 years, boredom had set in. And in order to try and alleviate this excruciating boredom, I used to take 2 magazines I used to read, and I came upon a picture which did actually change me life, because I came to an advert for the Women's Royal Air Force, and even though it was donkey's years ago, I shall never forget that picture, because it was cunningly designed, and I, after writing 2 noughts for 2.5 years, was highly suggestible. And this picture was of a young woman of a similar age and build to myself, but the difference was that she looked radiantly happy, and she had this lovely uniform on, the tropical uniform of the Women's Royal Air Force, drawn in tightly at the waist with natty little epaulettes on the shoulders and a little hat on a jaunty angle, and she had her chest thrown out and she was saluting like this, and her face was a mask of patriotic joy. It was. And all around her were all these wonderful things that looked so glamorous. Over there, for instance, there was a big clump of palm trees quivering. And over there, there was an airplane, one of those pointed ones, you know, a tornado or something, sticking dramatically up into the sky. And all around her, in a semicircle, smouldering, was a group of the most devastatingly handsome pilots. you had ever seen. And they were all staring down at her with undisguised lust. And I compared my lot, writing the 2 noughts, to this person's lot, or what I imagined it to be, and that was it. I went off, and on the strength of that alone, I joined up for 4 years. And I have to come clean. I've got nothing about defence at all. The only thing I've got that's remotely appropriate is about a limpet. So I thought, well... Well, I thought there's probably some stuck round the bottom, aren't there? So I'd like to do this little piece for you, which is called Clamp the Mighty Limpet. I am Clamp the Mighty Limpet. I am solid. I am stuck. I am welded to the rock face with my superhuman suck. I live along the waterline and in the dreary caves. I am Clamp the mighty limpet. I am ruler of the waves. What care I for the shingle, for the dragging of the tide, with my unrelenting sucker and my granite underside? There's only one reward for those who come to prize at me, and that's to watch their fingernails as they go floating out to sea. Don't cross me, I'm a limpet, though it's plankton I devour. Be very, very careful, I can move an inch an hour. Don't you poke or prod me, for I warn you, if you do, you stand there for a fortnight and I'll come and stick on you. Thank you very much.
So, Miss Jenkins, I thought this might be the ideal opportunity to put Sir Brian and his backbench committee in the picture as to how the defence cuts are going.
Defence cuts isn't a phrase we like to use at the MOD, Minister. We prefer to say options for change. And they're going swimmingly, which is why we've made plans. You are doubtless aware of the huge technological advances made during the Iraqi conflict.
Guided missiles with television cameras on them. Enjoyed watching those Johnnies go. Not quite as much as I like those big Scud missiles going off there. Whoosh! Beep, beep, beep! Boom!
Yes. Though, of course, it was the enemy who had the Scuds. Ah. No, our big thing out there was inflatable tanks.
Inflatable tanks?
Inflatable tanks, that's right. If Operation Desert Storm taught us anything, it was that in a modern TV war, a bit of inflatable plastic looks just as scary on the 6 o'clock news as the real thing. And it's a lot easier to insure, too.
Well, I'll be blown.
We've decided to take the process a stage further. May I present the world's first inflatable army?
Good Lord! Is this all of them?
Just one regiment. The rest are in a cupboard under the stairs.
I say, they don't move around much, do they? Not my idea of active service.
Well, you have to imagine them outside. From 4,000 yards with a bit of a breeze, they look perfectly realistic.
Do they all have to have moustaches?
It's either all or nothing, I'm afraid. And seeing how this lot are meant to stand in for the Queen's own Highlanders, we rather thought better have with.
Well, Sir Brian, what do you think?
Sorry, I'm not convinced. What happens when one of them gets shot?
Try it.
Ah, yes, it certainly sounds like a soldier.
And as you join us at the Royal Tournament, you can hear the cheers of the Devonport supporters as their team is carried from the arena, having scored the maximum possible in the friendly fire competition. Which brings us to a first appearance here at Earl's Court. A big welcome, please, for the Swiss Army Demonstration Drill Team!
Big blades, open! Little blades, open! Can opener, open! Bottle opener, open! Scissors, open! Und, test! Saw, open! Und, all blades, close!
It was disasters such as these which caused the invention of the Swiss Navy penknife, which has no blades on it at all. We now begin a new book at bedtime. The Trollope by Joanna Church. The reader is Tara Strength. Thank you.
She looked across the bedroom to where the sailor's uniform was draped over a chair. Giles liked her to wear it whenever they met. She looked at the damp patch on the ceiling. So typical of a man to show off like that. There were church bells ringing in the distance. She mustn't be long. Brian would have finished evensong soon. Brian didn't know about Giles. Brian didn't know about Terry or Kevin or Derek or Richard or Leslie or the band of Her Majesty's Royal Marines. He did know about Donald, but then she knew about Evelyn. She had met Giles on board his ship when Brian went to bless the new missile system. He had offered to show her his quarters, and then she'd offered to show him hers, and they'd made love suddenly and fiercely on his small bed. It had been like a new birth. And now she was in Portsmouth and blissfully, blissfully happy. Carefully, she climbed over the chief pretty officer, silently cursing the proofreader as she did so. She looked down at Giles's sleeping body. He lay unconscious on the floor where he had fallen from the hammock. He was her first lieutenant, but probably not her last.
In the services, they teach you how to kill foreigners and then tell you not to. They train you for war in the hopes that there will be peace. Peacetime is the big problem, keeping the services keyed up and keen with minimum loss of life. The RAF have for years had a simple, well-defined peacetime role. It's called Operation Public Flight Path.
Right, men. Right, pilots. You've completed your Jaguar simulator training. Now it's the real thing. For some time now, the National Trust and the Countryside Commission have been worried by the number of ramblers wearing out public footpaths in places of outstanding natural beauty. It's going to be your job to frighten them away. So, Derek, you take the Welsh Valleys, Jimmy the Scottish Highlands, and Matthew and Gordon chase each other around the Lake District. Now, I'm giving you a copy of Wainwright each. Fly as low as you like, and let's scare the cagoules off them and bring a bit of peace and quiet back to the countryside.
And the army? Well, the army has recently discovered a brand new lucrative hobby.
Settle down, men. Thank you. Welcome to the Life Guard's creative writing course. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Settle down now, thank you. I'd just like to introduce our speaker, General Accident, MC, DSO, Booker Prize, and Bar.
Thank you very much. Sit down, all of you. Hands on the desk where I can see them, Ferguson. Now, you don't need me to tell you the lifeguard's place in the literary canon. We have produced more major novelists than any other cavalry regiment. Hewitt, Ferguson, the list is, thank heavens, not endless. It was our writings at Agincourt that earned us the right to wear the plume or pen on our hats. Because we've always obeyed one simple rule. Only write about human misery and the royal family. Simple as that. The blues and royals. Remember, royalty means royalties. That's all I have to say. Back to your word processors and wait for the advance. Ladies and gentlemen, playing a Romanian dance by Armin Kaufman, Alison Stevens and Lauren Bullingham, The Pleasant Pluckers. Thank you.
don't know who we are. We're killers, that is who. We're really, really frightening. We'll prove it. Boom! That's the sort of ruthlessness you'll find from us. We're unkind. We're the SAS, yes, 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 and we're big and strong and brave. And we look extremely threatening on the days when we don't shave. We rush into a building, we don't ask questions first. We lift up our Kalashnikovs and fire a rapid burst. This technique is effective against our enemies, but makes us quite unpopular down at Sainsbury's. We shout to all the shoppers, get down on the floor. Then grab ourselves a crunchy bar and run out of the door. We're the SAS, yes, 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 and we're big and strong and brave. And we look extremely threatening on the days when we don't shave. We often cut it fine. Our escapes are always narrow. For some, it's end of the line. Full stop. New para. We're the SAS, yes, 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 and we must be on our way. We've a job to do that's really tough, where the life is hard and the going's rough. Jumping gullies and climbing rocks, that's right, we're delivering another box on Cadbury's milk tray.
That was Still Goes Around from the hangar of HMS Illustrious and was written by Richard Stilgo with additional material by Paul Dornan and Ben Miller. And starred Charles Collingwood, Belinda Lang, Jerry Shale and Richard Stilgo. With special guests, the Peasant Pluckers and Pam Ayres. With a sculpted little show with a heavy entertainment production.
Happy with you while the audience support. Ending with a funny pause. With you while the audience support. Ending with a funny call. Still goes wrong.